Greetings. What's new? Oh, I forgot. It's my job to tell you what's new and also what's old, for this is time for Something to Think About, which is brought to you transcribed every day, Monday through Friday at this time, over this station by your Anderson Lumber Company stores. And as usual, standing by my side is Paul Coburn with a great big message for you. Not big in numbers of words, but mighty important to you listeners. I'll be back shortly, so don't go away.
Would you like to have a more enjoyable, cooler house in the summer, a warmer one in winter, and at the same time save up to 25% on your fuel bill? Of course you would. Then insulate your home now. You'll find your nearby Anderson Lumber Company store is headquarters for home insulation materials, including Zonalite. It's easy and inexpensive to insulate your home on our easy budget pay plan. In fact, once your home is insulated, you save money each year thereafter on your fuel bills. Insulation soon pays for itself. See your nearest Anderson Lumber Company store today about insulating your home. Do it now and pay on the budget plan later.
Now let's turn to politics. Nobody knows yet who will be our next president and vice president. But were you aware of the fact that in the original scheme for the election of the president and vice president of the United States, it was expected that each member of the Electoral College would vote for two candidates without naming them for either office. The candidate receiving the most votes, allowing for the intervention of the House of Representatives in certain cases, was to be president, and the runner-up to be the vice president. This implies a much higher notion of the importance of the vice president's office than prevailed afterwards, but it certainly is not too high a notion, inasmuch as the vice president is always a possible president. Within a century and a quarter after the establishment of the machinery of the Electoral College, no less than seven vice presidents have advanced to the office of president owing to the death of the presidential incumbent. First was John Tyler, who succeeded William T. Harrison. Harrison died a month after he took his oath of office from a cold he contracted on his inauguration ceremonies. Zachary Taylor died 15 months after his election, and Millard Fillmore succeeded him in office. Andrew Johnson succeeded Abraham Lincoln, and Chester Allen Arthur became president, succeeding President James A. Garfield. Theodore Roosevelt succeeded William McKinley. Calvin Coolidge followed Warren G. Harding to the office of president, and President Harry S. Truman succeeded Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It is unusual to note that while the vice president can never vote in the Senate except when members are evenly divided, John Adams, the first vice president of the Congress, gave his deciding vote 22 times, which is still a record. If you have never visited your post office, I suggest that you do so to fully understand the remarkable functions of this great governmental department and its speed and efficiency. You'll see how deftly mail is handled, sorted, and loaded, how it arrives for delivery and promptly goes out to be left in mailboxes, and then think of the good old days. People didn't give their letters to postboys without some misgivings. Nowadays, you drop your letters into mailboxes and never give it a second thought. In the old days, many letters bore strange inscriptions, such as, "Be this letter delivered with haste, haste, haste," and another, "Post haste, ride, villain, ride for thy life." That gives you some idea of how people urged the prompt delivery of their mail, for there weren't the regular schedules we have today. There's no need to do that now. Whether your letter is sent to New York, to Alaska, or Hawaii, it is dispatched as though the most important job the post office has to do is to get rid of it at its destination as quickly as possible, and it costs you only 3 cents, where once it would have cost you a small fortune. And now, Paul, what say?
In behalf of our United States Treasury, the following message from Clark Gable, motion picture star, is brought to you by the management and staff of the Anderson Lumber Company. Quote, "We can't afford to buy less than a perfect victory. The cost of the war is terrific. No soldier is going to slacken on the job right up to the firing of the final gun. Our bullets are our dollars. The whole war effort comes to our steady, unfailing support here at home of our men and women at the front. The Seventh War Loan is another call to arms for us. The war will not be over until the enemy is beaten. And money isn't everything. Bravery, patriotic sacrifice is greater. But in war, as in other things, money is power. Power to win. Buy bigger war bonds, invest in complete victory." Unquote. The message you just heard from Clark Gable, motion picture star, was brought to you by your nearby Anderson Lumber Company store.
Something to Think About is a fully copyrighted feature and comes to you from the top of your dial.